Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for a short today on the future of Jordan Stout. And joining me to talk about that is Monty South, who has some ideas about what the Ravens should do about Jordan Stout this season. Monty, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you doing?
Doing just fine. We're recording this on Super Sunday. Of course, we hope the Ravens were playing today. And it was whatever recordings we'd be doing would be a preview or a recording of other things about the Ravens. Been a tough weekend, been a tough few days for the Ravens with Yon and Suggs being left out of the Hall of Fame, with Jackson, of course, finishing second in the MVP. But we're moving on right now. We're doing other Ravens shorts content, and please hit me up with your shorts ideas via Twitter. Usually Twitter DM is the best. But Monty, want to let you get going on here in terms of why you think that the Ravens maybe ought to move on from Jordan Stout.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of doing some research at the beginning of the offseason, I guess, a few weeks ago after we lost to the Bills, of course. And I was kind of looking at some of how he compared to other punters and just found that he seemed to be either about average or below average in many of the different stats that I've been looking into. So not that he was the worst punter in the league, but definitely seemed like an area where there could be some improvement if you're looking to make some improvements in the special teams this offseason.
Okay, that's great. Let's get more specific with it and talk about what areas are really, do you think, are enough to trigger that. And I guess one of the starting points I have is that Stout's under the last year of his first contract coming up right now. Mm-hmm. So I think with each punter since Montgomery, they have gone at least the term of the first contract before they got rid of the guy. And that includes Richardson, Zastadil, of course, Cook, who was here forever, and then Stout, who's the fourth punter since Montgomery is here for 3 years. And I don't remember what his status was with the Browns before that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, maybe jumping in a little bit to some of the numbers. The one that I find to be, I think, the most representative, or what I kind of look for in a punter, would be the net yards per punt stat. So looking at Pro Football Reference, I see in his rookie year, he finished about 25th out of 34 punters. That's that with 40.1 yards. So not great, but not the worst in the league. And for a rookie, you know, it makes sense. You're not going to expect him to come in right away and be the best punter in the NFL. Then his following year in 2023, he actually finished lower than that as the 30th out of 33 punters with net yards per punt of 39.1 yards. And then this past year, he did take a bit of a jump forward up to 20th out of 37 with 41.2 yards. But it just seems like he's not quite still getting over to the upper half of the league of punters. And maybe that's something to do with the fact that he is still so young. A lot of the punters in the NFL have been going on for a long time at this point and have a lot of experience. But it seems to me like he's still not quite meeting the league average. And for a position that's pretty cheap to replace, it seems like something that I would at least like us to see us bring someone in to compete with him in the training camp, to at least to see if we can make an improvement there.
All right. Let me make sure I know what you did here. It looks like you took any number of minimum punt attempts, even if they had one punt during the season. Oh, no, that's 41 guys. Having a hard time matching your data here. But if I use the 50% level, there's 29 guys. And if I use the 20% level, there is 34 guys. But I can't get to 37. That's interesting. In 24, 25. I wonder what that
is. Okay. Yeah, I had just kind of looked at the total list of punters that Pro Football Reference had listed there.
Okay.
Like you said, I didn't do any filtering, though. So it may have been someone only had like a couple punts, something like that.
All right. Okay. Well, either way, this works. He is kind of middle of the pack and a little bit higher, depending on how much you a little bit lower, depending on how much you restrict the number of punts. So on PFF, I'll do 50% of 89. And then in terms of net punting, I think he shows up like 22nd out of 29. That's not right. Where is he? Don't tell me I messed this up. Oh, I see what I did. Okay, reverse the order of that. He is 21st out of 29. So very similar to what you've got here. Do you see a problem with net punting at all, that you're really blaming him for the Ravens punt coverage?
I kind of feel like that's part of I feel like the net punt, like part of the job for punters is to put their coverage in a good position to make tackles on the play and not just kick it as far as they can. Because we know Stout has one of the stronger legs in the NFL. That was one of his calling cards coming out of college. But you have to make sure you're putting it in a place where your coverage folks can get down field and actually make a tackle in a reasonable amount of time. So I actually view that as there's probably some instances where his coverage folks let him down, but for a team like the Ravens who really value the special teams contributors so much, is in terms of maybe like you've said in the past, using some roster spots on game day activations we probably shouldn't have just to try and get an edge there. I feel like it's kind of fair for Stout to be blamed for at least some of that, or at least have some credit or just have some amount of recognition in the fact that if he's not putting in a spot where his guys can get to it, it's probably partially his fault.
Okay, I'll buy that. His percentage of punts returned was 38.2%. I don't know if you have that here, but the percentage of punt returned is actually quite low, for the seventh best in the NFL. So that, not to get into this too deeply, but I don't know if you didn't have any kind of expected distance, do you? And that would be, you know, essentially adjust for outstanding field position that the Ravens might have had at the time of the punt in a relative sense. So
I don't have anything directly for that. The closest thing that I looked at would be the percent of his punts that have been down inside the 20-yard line, but that doesn't quite account for where the ball is being punted from. We could jump into that if we wanted to take a look at that as well.
Yeah, I don't really have it, unfortunately. I don't have the average of those. I have the not return falls into touchbacks, out of bounds, down, fair catches, etc. But you probably have that as well. You're probably looking at those exact same numbers. Okay. All right. Don't let me distract you. I just wanted to ask that one question. So what would be the other reasons why you think Stout, the Ravens should move on?
Yeah, I think a big thing that stood out to me would maybe be things like his touchback percentage. His rookie year, he came in, he had a 12.3% touchback percentage, which was 32nd out of 34 punters. His second year is where he took a big jump, and actually he had a pretty big jump in a lot of his different metrics. He jumped down to 7.6%, which puts him at just about league average, 17 out of 33. But then this last year, he kind of fell back again into the double digits, just being under 11%, which puts him at 31 out of 37. To me, this is almost as important as the punt net yards per punt, because a lot of the times I see the Ravens punting, it's usually going to be in cases where, you know, given how good our offense is, it's very rare that we have a drive where we don't at least get a couple first downs.
Right.
So we're at least within range to be trying to pin teams back deep in their own territory. And if we're only getting these teams down into disadvantageous field positions, maybe 10% of the time this last year, 12% his rookie year, and then he actually had an okay year his second year, but still just about average at 8%. It seems like there's a lot of productivity being left on the table, that maybe a better punter or someone who's a little bit better about placing the ball could really get out of that those drives and maybe put the teams in worse positions that we're going up against.
That's a really good point, because they had obviously Cook came in to spend a lot of time coaching Jordan Stoudemire. For all I know, he may still be on staff in some capacity to do that. But obviously, a lot of that was in terms of training him as a holder, which we definitely need to get into. And the other part was in some directional kicking methodology that he could pick up. But he had a fantastic record in college of in 10 punts that had been just ridiculous. Like 53% of his punts had been downed inside the 10-yard line, which I think probably was a function of an outstanding team around him in terms of coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember that metric as well. It was actually one of the big reasons that I was happy to take him over someone like a Matt Ariaza in that draft class that people call the punt god. Because it was something that I really valued more than just getting the ball down the field really far. It's always fun to have those highlight punts, but at the end of the day, if you're not giving the team worse starting field position, why does it really matter how far you can kick it?
Ariza actually is had 9 touchbacks. That's one of the things about the percentage of touchback number. It's a small number always, folks. So the entire range of outcomes in the league is between 2 and 9 total touchbacks. And Stout had 6, which is below average, certainly. But we're not talking about a big number there. It would be also something I'd look at. A touchback on a punt is not nearly as bad as a touchback on a kickoff is these days, where you give the ball at the 30, it's still the 20. You give the ball to the other team, which often does mean you lose net yards on that punt. But it's also built into that net punting yard average as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell us some other things you looked at.
Yeah. So I also took a look at just some of the general PFF grades we had from Stout. The big one being his punt grade. This has a similar trend to some of the other ones I've looked at, where his rookie year wasn't very great. He ranked 26th out of 36 punters in the NFL. Took a big step up to about league average at 15 out of 39 in his sophomore year. And then this past year, he kind of fell back a little bit again, dropping down to 23 out of 41 punters. Now there is a lot more punters in that stat. So it's possible that if I had done some filtering, he might wind up being a little bit higher, because I would say it's probably more likely for punters that had less attempts to have a better shot at getting a higher overall grade.
That's just the opposite, unfortunately. He's 22 out of 29 when you look at the 50% punters. He's worse. That is fairly damning evidence, because they're trying to pick from various sources to say, you know, what is the, what components would we downgrade him for? Don't know if I completely trust the grade, but I think there certainly are some plays. How about other factors that go into this?
Yes, maybe some other things to look at are not just his punts, but also how he's done kicking off. Not every punter in the NFL does do kickoff, so he does provide some value there. So the another thing I looked at was that PFF grade for punters in the kickoff game, just to kind of see how many had done that and where he kind of ranked relative to them. His rookie year, he didn't wind up doing any. Tucker kind of took over, was doing all of the kickoffs his first year. His second year, he had a grade of 60, which was tied for 11th out of all punters that were kicking out of 20. So he was sitting right about average there. This past year, he had a pretty low grade of 25.3, which puts him at 12th out of 18 punters to complete a kickoff. Although that low grade of 25.3, I think, comes with a pretty big asterisk. It seems that PFF really hasn't figured out how to grade the kickoffs yet with the new kickoff format.
Yep.
Because there wasn't a single kicker this year who got an above 60 grade, which I think is usually about average, if I remember right.
Yeah. And didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium, 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can see if nothing special happens on the kick, it's usually exactly a 60. But yeah, he had a 8 out of 10 balls were touchbacks, and the other two returned for 79 yards, which is probably where his negative grade is coming from. Mm. So hard for me to draw a lot from that.
Yeah.
If tackling, how about that?
Yeah, we can look into that. There's obviously not a ton of opportunities for punters to go in and try and make a tackle. Usually their punt coverage should be taken care of it, but it is useful to look at it a little bit. So his first year, Stout actually had no tackles, but also missed no tackles. So tied for the best in missed tackles because he doesn't have any. There were only 9 punters his rookie year who had a tackle. So it wasn't like it's very common for them to get that anyways. And it was similar this last year where he has, again, had no tackles, but also no missed tackles. But the one instance where it seemed like he had some opportunities to make tackles was his second year, where he had one tackle he made, which actually tied him for first, which kind of shows how infrequently punters make these tackles. But he did have 4 missed tackles, which put him at dead last in the NFL, and in fact was 2 worse than anyone else. Now, I don't know if I want to take a ton from that, because in cases like this where it's a really low total number, I feel like there's just an element of chance and random events that can cause him to miss these tackles. But at the very least, to me, that shows that he's not the best punter in the NFL making tackles.
Right. That's a year ago, and I would agree. That's probably the damning consistency of seeing him at the bottom half of the league and everything. It is not good. And obviously he's a bigger guy at 6'3", 207. You'd hope he'd be a guy who could contribute something to tackling, that you'd be getting him partially for his size. I see he's penalized twice, which I assume are both maybe delay of game penalties. I should look that up and see if there's anything else he was penalized for. But that was kind of interesting to me too. So you put all this together and you see a guy who's obviously struggled some in the league over 3 years, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suggesting a course of action where they get rid of him immediately and use one of 11 draft picks they have this year to get a punter or find a UDFA? Or are you just, let's bring in somebody to camp to compete with him?
Yeah, I, I don't think I have the opinion that we have to get rid of him right now and spend one of our draft picks on him, but I do think we should bring in some competition, whether that's an undrafted free agent where we know the Ravens have gotten some value in the special teams. As you can see, Tucker, up until this point, was maybe the best undrafted free agent of all time in NFL history, just based on the value he was able to provide up until this season. Or maybe just bringing in a veteran punter, doing something kind of like what the Texans did last year, where they signed, I'm forgetting his name, but the punter who used to be on the Chiefs, who was able to provide them some immediate value this past season.
Okay. The Ravens have invested a lot in Stout the holder in terms of trying to train him and making him the guy for Tucker. Now, I hate to say it, but it looks like that may not be important to the Ravens next year. Maybe, maybe Tucker arises from the ashes here of all these accusations and it's just fine for 2025. And we've got to go with innocent until proven guilty. But when there's a lot of consistency among the accusers, it concerns me about what's going on. And the NFL, whether he's actually got financial liability or criminal liability of any sort, which I don't think that's possible. In fact, I think the statute of limitations is passed on any sort of thing like that. But even if he ends up with paying some money to settle some of these accusations, I don't see a world in which the NFL doesn't suspend him for some portion of the year, given the consistency with the situation in Cleveland.
Yeah, and given just how this past season was Tucker's worst year, if those two factors combine together where he is missing some of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if we do wind up moving on from him this offseason.
All right. It's one of the things about Cook is he was a Hall of Fame holder, so it didn't really matter what he did as a punter. His most important job was holding for Tucker. So in terms of that, Stout's track record isn't particularly good the last 3 years. Do you have numbers for that? I do if you don't.
I do not, so I'd be interested in seeing what you have.
So it's interesting that Tucker's worst 3 years, and this is not uncommon also for a kicker in his mid-30s to be in some form of decline, by the way. But his last 3 years, he's declined each year and has had his first negative number in terms of extra points and field goals relative to expectation. So I don't have it right in front of me, but I looked at it just a couple of days ago, and it was like 8.5 and 3.5 and a negative number now. And he'd been, consistently over 10. In fact, I had Aaron Schatz on, who is the one who publishes the statistic on FTN, to talk about, whether or not Tucker is the greatest kicker of all time. And he concluded that was certainly the case based on what he did. And the only guy who was close, it was interesting, was a Chiefs kicker, Nick Lowry, who kicked in the 1980s and 90s.
Oh, so interesting.
So it's really unfortunate because Tucker's Hall of Fame chances may be derailed by this entire situation, not to mention a very lucrative Royal Farms endorsement deal he's got, as well as any other endorsement deals I have, I'm sure are in trouble with this. Honestly, I think with the Ravens' history, with the Ray Rice incident, how would you feel about the Ring of Honor at this point, even?
I think even that would have to be up in question. Not that he's not deserving based on his performance in the field. I think everyone could agree that. But you're right with the whole Ray Rice incident and how that kind of put a black mark on the entire Ravens franchise during those years. It seems like something that Steve Bisciotti would kind of look at as something he doesn't want to get back into. He tried to avoid that type of thing as much as possible.
Right.
At least that's the way that I would look at it if I was him.
I would too. Big cap hit for the Ravens to move on from Tucker. Not for Stout. He may have a tiny amount of signing bonus remaining, so it's not really a cost. And in fact, it'll probably be a slight gain in terms of the player that they sign will be less because it'll be his first year of a 4-year deal. Any other? I mean, let's weigh these things. Stout the punter and Stout the kickoff guy. Put a weight on each of those things from 1 to 10 with knowing that the third thing you're going to weigh in this group is Stout the holder.
Trying to get all three to add up to 10.
Weight of 1 to 10 on each of these three items. I'm going to write mine down right now. I got to make sure that I have them right. I got mine on a scale of 1 to 10 for each.
Okay, so as a punter itself, I would say that's probably, if not half, maybe just below half of the value, because I agree that the value as a holder is very high for a team that, I mean, anything that directly contributes to putting points on the board, I think is very high value.
Okay.
But I'd say the punter as a whole, I'd say maybe has a value of about 7 out of 10 of the value for him. It is like in the name of the position, it's one of the primary responsibilities for him. So I would say that brings a lot of value. Kicker, especially if in the instance where we move on from Tucker and likely bring in someone who's a little bit younger, I'd probably put that at a value of 2 out of 10. Okay. The value I feel like that brings is that it can give your kicker a break, give his legs a rest, and let him just put less tread in his body. But if you're bringing in a younger kicker anyways, it's not really a concern that I have.
Okay. I and then as a holder, where would you put that in the rank as a 1 to 10 scale?
I'd probably put that about an 8. Okay. Just because he's not the only aspect of that operation that has to go perfect. There's also the long snap and the actual execution of the kick, but obviously it's huge. If your holder is able to get that ball in the perfect spot, it makes it much easier for the kicker to do his job.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. Very similar. I have 10 for holding, 6 for punting, 1 for kicking. It would be the way I would look at it. So very similar to yours, and definitely in the same order of the three. All right. Well, all interesting. So you would bring in competition this offseason for stout, and let it be decided in camp this year, and then move on next year. Or what would you do with the how would you otherwise plan succession here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the way to go. If it winds up that Stout comes in, makes some great improvements in his fourth year, which wouldn't be the most surprising thing. We've seen a lot of players take big steps up in their last year of their contract. I'd be perfectly fine letting him play out the contract, see how it goes, and then I guess depending on how well he does, just make the decision to make an extension. If he is maybe in the top 10 of punters, that's probably where I start considering, okay, this is a big progression. Maybe he's taking a step forward. Maybe it's worth giving him another 3-year, pretty low contract deal to keep him on the team a little bit longer. If not, though, I don't really think the cost to replace is very difficult, even in any one given season. We can kind of do the same thing we did once Co retired and draft someone in the mid to late rounds, maybe get an undrafted free agent or just bring in a veteran to hold us over for a year or two if we don't like the class.
Okay. I think Stout would be in demand based on the holding training he's had. You look around the NFL, even in some of the, who was the guy? Reskow or whoever it was for Cincinnati who dropped the football to lose the game against the Ravens. Even there's a lot of teams in the NFL that have problems with their holding game. He has literally had the best holding education of any NFL holder currently. Doesn't mean he's the best at it, but he's had the best holding education from the combination of those three guys, Randy Brown, Tucker, and Cook, looking over his shoulder, you know, hold after hold, and all the stuff they put him through with the special helmet cam and the GoPro to get him doing this well. It actually must have been torture for him to go through that, I would think, in terms of trying to learn, But he's through it now. And I would think that some other team that has had, you know, some butterfingers on holds is going to be likely to want a player like Jordan Stout, even with his punting stats not that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you bring up. I guess as Ravens fans, all we hear about are the mistakes. And I'm not going to pretend that I'm someone who can really analyze how perfect the spotting and positioning of the ball is for a kick is. But a lot of those YouTube content creators, like Isaac Punts this last season, were going through and saying it looked like he was just a little bit off. But if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, being off by maybe a few inches in where you place on the ball is a much better mistake to have than, like you mentioned, in that Bengals game where the holder just completely loses track of the ball and doesn't even give the kicker a chance to make an attempt. So.
All right, Monty, appreciate you coming through with this. Nice short topic. Appreciate you coming on and present this for us. Tell folks where they can talk football with you if they want to.
Yeah, I'm not on too much social media. From time to time, I'll be on Twitter at @South_Monty. But generally, the best way to reach me, I guess, would probably be, honestly, it would be email, as old school as that sounds, at MontySouth@yahoo.com. But right. Definitely want to talk football, especially Ravens, to anyone that'd be interested in doing that.
All right. Appreciate you, Monty. Thanks for coming on. Other folks out there, please hit me up with your film study short ideas. Thanks for the listens, as always. And if you can pass this along by word of mouth or hit like and subscribe, that's always appreciated. Monty, thanks again for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.